Okay, good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're in Pasuk Bet. Batahba lev ba'ala. Veshalal lo yechsar. We've been discussing how a husband and wife can feel security from each other, which will bring the tremendous beracha of shalal, the spoils of the victories of the wars of life that each one is involved in. Lo yahsar, will never be lacking. What a beautiful, powerful beracha. Where does it come from? It comes from that feeling of security. We've been trying to explain how this security comes about. Security has its rules and its causes. So far, we've been discussing that when a husband or wife feels that the other side is thinking about them, is looking to help them, is willing to sometimes even give up their own comfort for the benefit of the other. Things of that nature create an internal security which brings strength and brings beracha. Today we're going to go to another important factor that brings this feeling of security. A husband and wife both have to know. This is very critical. And there's so many small details that can deviate from what we're about to say as a critical factor in a marriage, in a relationship. A husband, a wife, both of them need to feel the responsibility that their spouse is number one. A husband must feel that his wife considers him in her value of importance as number one. Nobody is ahead of her husband. Of course, she's number one to herself. The pasuk says, "Ve'ahavta lere'acha kamocha." You have to love your friend like you love yourself. So, of course, the first allegiance, the first love, and the first concern of a person has to be about himself. However, after oneself, the number one priority has to be the husband, has to be the wife. And it's not a simple matter. When we say number one, we're not just giving a description that's used in the world where people say, you're number one, you're my number one. It really means something. Number one over who, first of all? A person could feel like, of course my spouse is number one. There are 8 billion people in the world. So for sure, they're in the top 10 from 8 billion. 8 billion possibilities of being number one in my life. And this person that I'm married to is in the top 10. Now, 10 from 8 billion, that's a great number. You're like, there's 8 billion people out there. I don't really have as much care or connection or worries about them, any of them. I live in a community. It's 100,000 people. But you're number one. Okay, with a zero next to it, but you're number one. 10 from 100,000, that's huge, you're up there. If someone would tell me, out of 100,000 people, you're number 10 for me, that's pretty good. So when we speak about number one, we don't usually mean really number one. We mean like you're top. You're very important. From the many people that I'm surrounded by every day, I do more for you, I cook for you, I work for you, I give you more money. I don't go give people money every day. I give you money every day. I don't cook for people every day. I cook for you every day. I do errands for you. I mean, I don't do these things for regular people. You're number one. It's very important to know what number one means. Who is under number one? So under number one is your parents. Now, your parents, kibud avahem, kaved et avicha ve'et imecha. You have to honor your father and mother. A person owes his parents more than they could ever repay them. It's an eternal bill that is open, and there's never enough to repay what they have done for their child. The laws of kibud av va'em are from the most difficult obligations, because the extent of how much a child, even as they grow older, even as they become old people, the extent they owe reverence and honor and service to their parents is beyond imagination. The halachot of kibud av va'em are very difficult because of this great obligation that a son or daughter has. However, in the list of priorities, a husband must be number one over your parents. So here's a young lady. She grew up in her parents' home. She's there 20 years. They've given her everything. This guy comes in, and in 1 week, in 1 month, in 3 months, he becomes number one. Now, all that is, the people you've been counting on, the people that have given you endless amount of time and energy and money, they just made a crazy wedding for you.
Added around.
And now, they lost their platinum status. They dropped down to gold. You have a new number one. It's not a simple matter to sideline your parents for your spouse. Both a husband and a wife must do the same. It's a very big undertaking. And in fact, sometimes parents will feel hurt. One day, she's out of our home, and already we drop down. We feel like she has someone above us. Sometimes it could feel a little not so comfortable. But you have to know that this is one of the keys to beracha in a home. that a husband and wife need this priority to put them together strong. When you glue two things together, if something gets in between, they will not stick. There has to be nothing in between. Number one is over parents, which is hard to say this. It doesn't mean they don't owe their parents anymore. It doesn't mean they don't respect their parents anymore. God forbid. The halachot of kibud av va'em stay forever. But the number one changes. Now, if you're listening to this and you're saying that's a little extreme, can't drop me after 20 years in one day, I already dropped to number two. Let the guy prove himself. For the wife to make a husband number one, let him step up. Let him do a little bit of what her parents did for him. Before a husband can make his wife number one, let's see what she could do, like something like his mother did for him. You got to prove yourself. That's maybe what we would have said. And maybe that's how a father and mother could feel. And one day, I got dropped down. What do they know? This little kid, this 20-year-old, this 19-year-old, this 22-year-old, they became now the boss. These feelings are very normal for parents who care about their children and they see them following this halakha. Not so comfortable. Sometimes the halakha is not comfortable from the son and daughter, and sometimes and usually it's not so comfortable for the father and mother. So if anyone's listening and saying this sounds a little too extreme, so I want to just remind you that there is an explicit pasuk in the Torah. It's from the beginning of the Torah. It's one of the first instructions of marriage. It's not even pleasant to read this instruction. But that's what the Torah says. I'm going to read you a pasuk. The pasuk says, Al ken after Hava and Adam get married, the first marriage. Now remember, Adam and Hava had no father and no mother. So they didn't have a kibud av va'em problem. They didn't have such a mitzvah. So for them, number one is easy. There was no number two. But yet in that marriage comes the Torah and says, obviously not talking about Adam and Hava, but using Adam and Hava as the prototype. They didn't have a father and mother. So of course they're number one. Come to Torah and says, let me tell you something. Even if you have a father and mother, they have to be like they have no father and mother. Al ken, therefore, ya'azov ish. You see this marriage, says Hashem? You see a father here? You see a mother? You don't see them? Oh, so that's not an accident. I could have made them with a father and mother. Al ken, therefore, ya'azov ish, talking to the man and kol sheken to the wife. Ya'azov ish, a man should leave. Ya'azov doesn't mean you walk out of the room. Ya'azov means to forsake, means to go to a different zone. Ya'azov ish, את אביו ואת אמו. He has to leave his father. He has to leave his mother. ודבק באשתו, so that they can have a glue together. So long as there's a father and mother in between, there's not going to be the proper beracha in this marriage. The very strong words that the Torah should speak about a father and mother that way, that their children should leave them. Ya'azov. It doesn't just say, make sure you put your wife or your husband as number one. Ya'azov is strong words. Ya'azov means done. Disconnect. Very strong words. You have to study them probably better to understand all the details of that disconnect. But there clearly has to be a disconnect enough to make them number two and three. Because there's a new number one. The new number one is not as smart as them. Is not as wealthy as them. Is not as caring as them. Hasn't done enough to earn it like them. It's a wild number one. It's a number one that comes from the reality of being married. You get married, you automatically have a number one. So much so that you have to disconnect from all the number ones that you had. These are the words of the Torah, the words of the Creator that compares the marriage of Adam and Hava as number one to number one. To every single marriage that needs to be in the same manner. So number one is not a categorical like you're in the top 10. Number one is real number one. It's above father, mother. It's above grandfather, grandmother, obviously. It's above children. Above your children. A woman has her children with her husband. The messaging has to be from her to her husband, you're number one. I don't have time for you because I'm busy with my kids. That's not the right message. There has to be a constant broadcast in her words and actions that you're number one. Obviously, she has responsibilities to her children, to her parents, to all the different important people in her life. Obviously, she's going to give them whatever she is required to. But the broadcast, the constant wording, even if she has to take care of her children above her husband, but the message has to be, but you're number one. I'm feeling terrible that I can't do this right this second. I'm feeling terrible that for now I'm busy doing something else. That's the broadcast. Number one, above your children. That's a very hard thing to do for a parent of a child that they love so much and need so much of their attention. And their spouse is not as needy or maybe not as important to them. But that's not the right, it's not the right way to build batahba le bala. Batahba le bala, security and a marriage comes when they're feeling number one. It's a big hidush. It's a very big undertaking. I don't know how much of this is practiced in the world that we're in. I don't know how much it's spoken about. But it needs to be It needs to be understood and practiced, because then you will see beracha in that marriage. And again, I want to reiterate, God forbid, we don't mean to ignore the important people in your life. But there has to be that constant broadcast. Number one means above my friends. So many people get married and they're still, they're the same group of friends, happen to be married. And unfortunately, there can be decisions made that put friendships above, sometimes all the time, but usually much of the time or many times, where decisions are made where friendships go above the spouse. Number one, drop your friends if you have to. No more. You have friends, you want to get together with them. It doesn't in any way disturb the number one, no problem. But they cannot be a priority. Even if you're with them, it's not your priority. You're having a good time, it's not your priority. Doesn't mean you can't be with them. It doesn't mean you can't have friends. But it cannot be your priority. That's both for a wife and a husband. Friends cannot get in the way of number one. At no times that can happen. Very often in a relationship, you can have other people involved in your life, and it's not considered bringing down the number one. That's okay. But make sure it never becomes one against the other and you choose the wrong one. Number one has to be above business, above money. Of course you have to make money. Of course you have to work. But the broadcast is, you're more important to me than work. I may have to travel, I may have to go, I may have to do part of what we have to do to live. But the message has to be that you're number one. Very often, a wife can feel number two to her husband's work. It's not a good feeling. She's still his wife, she's still doing what she needs to do. But she's lacking the security that brings the strength and blessing into her home. Because she's feeling that she's not number one. To some people, it's their parents. For some people, it's their friends. For some people, it's their children. For some people, it's their work. Unfortunately, for some people, it's sports. It's the silliest. I feel wrong to even mention in a class. But unfortunately, out there, it's very common. If you gotta drop your father and mother, you gotta drop your team. How could you allow your sports connections to be a priority over your spouse? Of course, a person may have and needs to have other outlets in his life. He has parents, he has friends, he has family, he has children, he has to exercise, he goes to learn. He's got a lot of important things, and there's room for everything in a number one type of relationship. There's room for everything. Number one doesn't mean you have to spend 24 hours a day with your wife. Hey, well, husband, that would not be a very productive marriage. There's room in life for all the important things. Everything will have its space and its time and its value. It's more about the messaging It's about the constant, what are they feeling? What are they hearing from you? Sometimes it plays out in real life because when you choose something over an important time with your number one, that's a very, 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 very difficult choice. So of course it does play its role in real decisions, but very often it's not about so much what you're doing. It's your messaging. It's your feeling toward your friend that you don't even give your spouse. It's talking about someone in front of them that you don't talk the same way to them, about them. It's showing excitement about things that about them you don't show. It's a messaging, it's a broadcast. So it's not about choosing one over the other, which again, that also of course has to be watched out for. The messaging has to be constant, number one. I once met a person. Fine young man, Harry, for a number of years. And he didn't look good. Sometimes you see a person, they just don't look good. They're not complaining, but they're not looking strong. They're not looking confident. They're not looking. So one day after tefillah, I asked him, I said, you don't look good. What's going on in your life? I didn't hear of anything too complex. He's married. As kids, as parnasah, like that. No reason to look like that. So after back and forth, he tells me, I feel like I'm a fifth wheel in my house. So what do you mean? He said, what can I tell you? He says, my wife, if she has a problem, she runs to her mother. If she needs money, she runs to her father. When she's bored, she runs to her friends. And the guy feels like a zero. Now, one might have said, if my wife needs money, she runs to her father. What a beracha. Wow. That's awesome. Where do you find a wife like that? Every time she needs money, she runs to her father. It's one of my tefillot that I pray for. Gorgeous. She has a problem. She runs to her mother. I don't have to deal with her issues. Beautiful. Where do I sign? She's bored. She doesn't bother me. She goes with her friends. I mean, I'm listening to this guy and I'm thinking, well, you have Olam Haba. You don't have to deal with your wife's problems. You don't have to give her money. She doesn't chew your ear when she's bored. What is the problem here? That's what you listen to when you hear it. That's what you're seeing on the ground. But there's something that's above ground that makes much more of an impact. Is that this guy, through this blessing that's saving him from all the headaches, is feeling like he's not number one. So practically, he's actually getting a greater benefit on the ground. But in reality, in his mind, in his feelings, he's feeling like a fifth wheel. He's feeling not needed. He's feeling less important. And that breaks the person. Even if others might look and say, wow, what a lucky guy. His father-in-law gives him everything. He bought him a house. He bought him two houses. Every month, he gets straight into the bank account. Gorgeous. People are all looking around and saying, what a lucky guy. I wish I had a father-in-law like that. And yet the guy getting the money is a broken man. How can you be broken because you're getting all the money? Because what happens very often is when a father gives his daughter money, of course he means to help her. Of course he means to give her what she needs out of love. But very often it's making the husband feel not number one. The first rule of a daughter getting married is you take away the credit card. No more credit card from your father. You want to give money? Give money quietly to a husband. But you make your daughter dependent on you? So automatically, there are going to be these feelings that I'm not number one. How can I be number one if the money that supports her life and lifestyle is coming from somebody else? What kind of Ya'azov ish et aviv et imo? How is it going to happen to disconnect if you're connected to the most important thing of parnasah? Such a mistake that people make to make their children reliant on them and not reliant on their spouse. Again, you want to help, you should help. But you got to help in a way where it doesn't make you the number one. And you got to be very, very, very smart. And you have to think this through. It's better they struggle and be number one to each other than you step in and be number one with all the luxuries. Because nothing can replace security and strength in a marriage and the beracha that comes from it. So you're closing up a hole, but you're opening up a much bigger hole. Here you came to rescue. This is going to be very hard to hear for a lot of people who give so much of their money to their children. And again, I will tell you again, it's not about giving or not giving. If you care and you need to give and it's important to give, so you should give. But you got to know how to give. You got to know who to give to. It's very hard that the guy giving all kinds of money should put himself as invisible as if he's not even here. That's a hard thing to do, but that's what you got to do if you really care about them. So many marriages have been destroyed, and certainly many, many more have been damaged. And many, 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 many more that have not reached their real potential because of a caring father and mother that have stepped in to do for their son, for their daughter, and have left the spouse feeling useless. Instead of feeling strong, instead of shalal lo yahsan, instead of the victories, all of a sudden we see many losses. So much thought has to be put into how to give over to your children without them feeling that you're the number one in their life. Every situation is different. Everyone needs its own piece of advice. Sometimes it's easy, the advice, the solution. Sometimes it's not. some situations you have to help in a roundabout way without even them knowing. I can't tell you what the answer is to each situation. But the answer is always make sure this act doesn't make you number one in their life. As great as it might be and as needy as they might be. Because the biggest thing they need is each other to be number one. That's number one. Everything else comes after. Very, very hard to fulfill this for caring, giving parents. Be careful not to be the guy. Grandpa is the guy. He takes care of us. About your father? Okay, whatever. My grandpa also takes care of him also. So who pays for this? Grandpa! Who took us on the trip? Grandpa! What? That's not the way. Again, I know it hurts to hear this. For people who give. The people who don't give are very happy. They're saying, well, we're doing great. That's why I don't give. Now they found a good reason why they don't give. But the ones who do give their time and money and give everything to their children might hear this and feel a little bad. And I'm sorry for that. Huh? I'm sorry that I have to make someone who's giving so much of his life for someone to feel bad. But you have to know that wisdom in life isn't as easy as just saying, I care about you. Here's everything you need. It's not like that. You have to use chokmah. You have to know what's priorities. Such an important thing to keep in mind. Again, I don't have the answers to all the questions. But the most important thing is it has to be a question. And it's never too late to empower each one to become each other's number one. Never too late to realize this important factor in your children's marriage. No husband, no wife should feel like a fifth wheel. It's not healthy for them. It doesn't build them. And they don't have the beracha that's waiting for them. The famous midrash. Midrash says that there was a woman in a city called Sidon that was living with her husband for 10 years. They married for 10 years and they had no child. So the Midrash says they went to visit Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
You proverbial anxiety?
To ask him what they should do. It's 10 years already. 10 years without a child. He has a mitzvah, priyavarivya. He has to go do a mitzvah of having children. She's obviously not the one. At that point, they need to go move on. So they went to ask the great Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai how to move forward. Says the Midrash, he told him, I hear you. You have to move on. You have to separate. He says, but the same way when you got married to each other, you made a big simha, you made a big seuda, you invited people to enjoy. He says, for you guys, when you get divorced, you can make the same seudah. Unbelievable. You imagine? Just imagine the phone call to the caterer. So what are you having? Bar mitzvah? You're having a hatunah? No, we're getting divorced. You're getting divorced? You're booking the hall? Yeah, we need all the best. We need music. We need good food. We need it all. It's not fault. Just Just imagine the feeling of this. But that's what the Midrash says. He told them, you came in. Obviously, they love each other. They want to be with each other. But at the end of the day, the circumstance doesn't allow it. So he says, okay.
If there was a mitzvah for you guys to get married, that's what he means, I think.
There's a mitzvah for you to get married, and you celebrated that mitzvah by having a big meal and a simcha. So now you're doing a mitzvah to get divorced. What could you do? So therefore, celebrate it also. Okay.
You like.
And says the Midrash, they went and they made a Yom Tov, says. They made a very happy day. Before they got divorced, they made this party. Asu Seuda Gedola, they made a very big meal. And the husband drank a little bit. Maybe a little more than a little bit. Okay. Now, at the end of the party, he's a little bit, you know, tipsy. But he's ready to go home. They go to his father's house. That's it, they're gonna separate. So he's in a very good mood after this simha. So he tells his wife, he says, Biti, calls her his daughter, meaning it's a way of love, ahava. He says, whatever I own, wealthy man, whatever I own, look around you. Whatever you want, whatever you like, take it and go to your father's home. She's moving out for sure. I don't know. I'm assuming he's moving out maybe not. Maybe he's staying now. So what did she do? She's looking around the house. What she should take? A lot of goodies. So he fell asleep. She went to her maidservants, her housekeepers, to the help, the servants that she had. She told them, did you carry the bed that he's on while he's sleeping and carry it all the way to my parents' home and put it there?
Serious.
So they took it. Guy wakes up in the middle of the night. So where am I? He sees himself by his wife's parents' living room. His bed is there. And he sees his wife next to him. He says to her, where am I? So he's in my father's house. He says, why am I in your father's house? She said to him, didn't you tell me last night that anything good, anything precious that I want to take to my father's house? She said, I looked around and the most precious thing I found is you. So I told them to put you in my father's house.
You're not it. Evil there, sir.
He gives her what a story. Wait, it's not over. So they went back to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I guess, to get divorced. Says the Midrash that he prayed for them. I guess he told them, don't get divorced. He prayed for them, and they had a child. It's like it's a beautiful story. A story of number one. It's a real beautiful story. But there's a question on the story. Why didn't Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai pray for them before? Rabbi Shimon Yochai is a great man. Obviously, his prayer is very, very powerful. So when they came to him, that they're married 10 years with no child, so pray for them. Why only after the party and the almost divorce, and why then did he decide, let me pray for you? But if you learn the pasuk, batahba le'vala v'shala lo yahsar, so you understand why. Because when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sees that this broadcast of number one is very clear in this marriage, so he knows there is a beracha in this home. A beracha that could bring children even though there's no room for children. A beracha that could bring miracles into this home. To pray for a couple and to tell them to stay around after 10 years they're not married, he wasn't willing to do. To stick it out another year to pray for them, he didn't feel that this is something within the reach. But maybe it's not the right hishtadlut, not the right effort. That's it, we tried 10 years. That's it, what can we do? But when he sees batahba levala, when he sees a woman who makes a husband number one in such an unbelievable manner, like we just heard, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, this home, shala lo yahsar. There's going to be victories in this home. And there's therefore reason to pray. And there's reason to hope. And there's what to look forward to. When she proved batahba lebala, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai prayed for shala lo yahsar. Because that is a very key ingredient to beracha in a relationship. The security. You're number one. No number two, three, four above you. No, no. You're number one, not top 10. Number one. When there's number one, the spoils of victory are there for the taking. Have a wonderful day.